The passage of Scripture this morning comes from Luke's Gospel, beginning in the 8th chapter with verse 26. This is one of those passages today that I'm going to read and stop for a little bit and make some comments and then pick it up and continue. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time, he had worn no clothes. He did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Jesus is master over the forces of nature, and now in this morning's passage, Jesus now shows that he is also master over the demonic spirits. Jesus steps out of the boat and it appears that instantly he is met by this individual. And all we are told at this point is that the man had demons, he doesn't wear any clothes, that he lived among the tombs rather than in a home. When the man sees Jesus, he falls at his feet and he begins shouting. This man has a case of violent insanity. He was too dangerous to live in the community, and so he lived in the tombs, which were believed to be the homes of other demons. We also know that the man has incredible strength, for he was able to snap chains as he was subdued and bound with these chains, and now the people have recognized that they could not subdue him. His fellow men were terrified in him that they would never try to do anything. But now he bows at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus very calmly and peacefully is unafraid. Jesus commanded the spirit to come out of the man. Jesus' command is also seen as an act of compassion for this individual because of all that he has suffered at the power of these demons. Jesus demonstrated his power further by requiring the demon to divulge and reveal its name. We remember back in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, when Moses first has his experience with God, knowing that knowing a name gives one control, Moses says, "What is your name?" And God says, "I am who I am. I will be whomever I will be." When Jesus asks him his name, he replies, "Legion." You see, a Roman legion was a regiment of 6,000 soldiers. And so this man felt as if within his spirit that he had a whole legion of spirits that were troubling him. And the demon begs Jesus not to send him back into the abyss. In the world of the New Testament, the abyss was the place where disobedient spirits would be imprisoned. Now, there on the hillside is a large herd of swine, of pigs feeding. And the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. And so Jesus gave them permission. The demons came out of the man and entered the herd of pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank and into the lake, and that whole herd was drowned. Now a herd of pigs are introduced. It seems as though the demons have negotiated their fate with Jesus, allowing them to enter into this herd of swine. Now, no good Jewish Christian would ever have questioned the ethics of Jesus allowing the destruction of the livelihood of the Gentile herdsmen. Instead, the fate of the pigs would have been a celebration and showed that justice had prevailed all around, that the man had been delivered from the torment of the demons, and that this unclean herd of pigs had been destroyed as well. The demons got what they wanted. They did not go into the abyss, and in the end, they were destroyed along with the whole herd of pigs. Jesus had outwitted the demons. The demons that wanted to avoid were now cast aside as well. Now, when the swine herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran off to the city and told in the city and in the country everything that had happened. When people came to see what had happened, they came to Jesus. And they found the man whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. The exorcism is confirmed by the herdsmen and the people from around who have come and see this individual as a person acting in his right mind as a normal person. He is clothed. He is sitting at the feet of Jesus. He has been restored. He has been healed. And how do the people respond? They recognize the mystery and the power of that which has taken place, but they cannot make a place for it in their own lives to accommodate their own lives. And so their response, therefore, is to ask Jesus to leave. They hated their routines being disturbed. Life went on peacefully for them until Jesus arrived. More people hate Jesus because he disturbs their life than probably for any other reason. If Jesus says to a person, "You must give up this habit, you must change your life." If Jesus says to an employer, "You cannot be a Christian and make people work under these conditions." If Jesus says to a landlord, "You cannot make money at the expense of these people, forcing them to live in this type of dwelling conditions." If Jesus says, "You cannot, as one of my disciples, treat people like that." How often do people in today's world and society say, "Go away and let me live in peace"? Because we hate having the routines of our daily life and living upset. How do we respond? As I mentioned earlier, the theme of this past annual conference was disciples making disciples. What about the man who was cured? Here's the ending of the scripture. Jesus was preparing to get back into the boat and return, and the man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And so he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. A disciple making disciples. I think it's only obvious and natural that the man wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus had other things in store for him and wants him to go home. Christian witness begins at home, at our most common places. It would be much easier to live and speak for Christ among people that we don't know, that we're never going to see again. But it is our duty. Where Christ has sent us, there to witness for Jesus Christ. And if it should happen that we are the only Christian in the shop, the only Christian in the office, in the school, in the factory, wherever it is that we are found, in the circle in which we live and work, that is not a matter for us to whine about. It's a challenge to which God says, go and tell the people you meet every single day what I've done for you. And may we remember that we are a child of God and that God indeed loves us. And that thanks be to God that we are never alone. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the scriptures and the good news this day. That we are loved, that we are cared for, that we are sent into the world. To continue, O God, to bless us that we might be a blessing, sharing what you offer to us each and every day. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.